Please turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And reading by way of introduction, verses 11 and 12. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. And our subject this evening is gospel blessings for Israel. Well, we finished last week, considering the or moving towards the end of chapter 10, and we looked at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the apostle, as I mentioned last week, was really essentially responding to that question that we are often asked even now in this day and age: what about those who have never heard the gospel? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And we are often asked this question, but then the Apostle Paul talks about the beauty of preaching. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And well, we considered that even though preaching in and of itself is not beautiful as such, the medium, but it is the message that comes that is glorious and wonderful and beautiful and brings peace. But then verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They heard the gospel, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that, of course, is from Isaiah 53. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. See, this is the great fallacy of this argument. What happens, or what about those people who have never heard the gospel? When people make that objection, they're assuming that if only they would hear the gospel, if only that far-off tribe would hear the gospel, just hear it just once, then they would all fall down before the Lord, they would all repent, they would all have faith. If they just heard, they're so kind-hearted that they would come, they would repent, they would have faith. What about those who have never heard? But the reality, of course, is that the human heart, its natural reaction to hearing the gospel of God's grace, is not to repent, but to rebel against it. That is the state of the natural human heart. Nobody will desire the gospel upon hearing it. Tribes in other nations, all the other nations where the gospel has gone, well, they have been met with stubborn hearts. They haven't heard the gospel. They don't want to hear the gospel. They're happy in their sin. They're happy believing what they want to believe. They're happy with their own idols. They don't want the gospel at all. It's only God who changes hearts. It's only God who can bring salvation to a rebellious heart. It's God who does the work. It's God who has conceived of the gospel in eternity past. It's God who has brought the gospel into the world. It's God who brings the preachers. How shall they preach except they be sent? By God, not by man. God sends people, gives people that great compulsion to go out and to preach the word and the gospel to all those who haven't heard it. So God can hardly be blamed if there are people who haven't heard the gospel. It's missing the point entirely. It's only because of God that the gospel goes out and that the gospel saves anybody. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" And then, well, we have those famous words in verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Again, that last part of the verse, hearing by the word of God, well, we often take it to mean by the scripture, but it can equally mean by the command of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the command of God. He sends preachers so that people can hear. God has commanded us to go out and to share the gospel with others. Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And well, we remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in his earthly ministry. So often that cry would go up, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Because faith comes by hearing, not seeing. Christ never said, "He that has eyes to see, let him see." He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And this is why we are people with a message. Christian people are not just people who do good things. Yes, the conduct of Christian people is very important, and the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we do things, the way we're set apart from the world. Yes, that's wonderful and good. But faith comes by hearing. We have to speak to people. And sadly, again, in modern times, this aspect, well, people don't feel they need to speak. They just do good things, do good works, help people. That's what being a Christian is. But we have to give the message so that they hear it. We have to articulate it. We have to share it with them. It's no good being just a silent witness. This is a message that has loosened our tongues. Remember earlier in the chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about making confession with our mouths, because faith comes by hearing. And so these things are very important. But verse 18, "But I say, have they not heard?" Well, this is speaking about Israel again. Have Israel not heard? Perhaps Israel didn't properly hear the gospel. Or did they know the gospel? Well, the Apostle Paul says, "Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world." And that's taken from Psalm 19. And well, yes, of course, the gospel has gone out with tremendous speed. Great progress was made even in the apostolic age. And to the ends of the world, we've spoken about this so many times, the great scope of the gospel for the whole world, not just the Jews, and we'll be speaking about that again this evening. But verse 19, "But I say again, did not Israel know?" They might have heard the gospel, but did they understand it? Did they fully understand it? Did they know what it meant? Did they know that righteousness had to come by faith? Did they really grasp that? Did they know that the Gentiles, for example, would be included in the promises, would be included in God's covenant? Did they actually know this? Well, then the Apostle Paul will say yes. And he uses Moses, first of all, to support his argument. First Moses saith, "I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." Taken from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 21. But Moses was saying, that the Gentiles will come in. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. The ones that God had not made a people, like he had made Israel a people and Israel a nation, the foolish nation, well, the Jews considered the Gentiles to be foolish with their false gods and their pagan ways. They were wandering in darkness. They did not know the only true God. But even Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And then Isaiah in verse 20 is even bolder and says, I was found of them that sought me not. Of course, the Gentiles did not seek after God at all. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. He will show himself to those who did not desire him. Ask not after me. And well, this was the state of the Gentiles. This is the state of all of us. And well, I just read from Ephesians chapter 2, which was our scripture reading. You don't need to turn to it. But these words, well, they perfectly describe what Paul is saying in Romans. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is the sign of the gospel age. The Gentiles were dead, but they will be quickened. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So this is the fulfillment of those prophecies, the gospel age, described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. Well, it was spoken of in the Old Testament by Moses and by Isaiah. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, verse 21, back in Romans chapter 10, to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Well, God had repeatedly stretched forth his hands, invited them to know and to understand what it is to be saved by grace, constantly, and yet they were so slow to understand. I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. They refused the message. It wasn't so much that they didn't understand it. It was that they didn't want to understand it. They were disobedient. The message was there if they wanted it, but they were rebellious in their hearts, disobedient and gainsaying people. They were even resisting with their mouth. That's what it really means, a gainsaying people. Again, in contrast to what the apostle has written earlier in the chapter, those who believe in their hearts and confess with their mouth, this is the opposite. They're disobedient in their hearts, and with their mouths they resist, they make excuse, they murmur against the gospel, and they pour scorn all over it. And so this is the great contrast, and this is what we have to remember at times when people don't appear to understand the gospel. And I've mentioned this more than once in the past. When people don't seem to understand the gospel, remember the real reason. It's because they don't want to understand the gospel. The gospel is so very simple. It's so simple. Christ has died in our place, instead of us, for our sins, that we may be forgiven. Our substitute Even a child can understand what a substitute is. When a substitute comes on in a football match, in a game, well, they understand that he is taking the place of another player. Well, Christ has taken the place for us, the punishment for our sins. It's so easy to understand. If people don't understand it, they don't want to understand it. That's the great underlying reason. So when we pray for people, yes, we pray for people to understand the gospel, but first of all, we pray that they will want to understand. Give them that desire. Cause them to seek the Lord. They want to know what this gospel is about. I'm sure that was the difference with me. I'd read the gospel, the Bible, many times as a teenager, as a youngster, but only as an adult when I actually wanted to know the Lord, then understanding came. So pray that those who are resistant will want to understand. And well, we have many upon our hearts to pray for in that respect. But let's go to chapter 11. And this is where we read in earnest of Israel. Because this question is raised again that we have seen in previous chapters. The Apostle Paul, I say then, hath God cast away his people, Israel? God forbid. Has Israel been cast away entirely? No. Because, as the Apostle Paul says in the second part of the verse, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an Israelite, but I've been saved. So God hasn't cast away his people entirely. And verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. But this is speaking about the elect now. Those whom he foreknew in eternity past, the elect of God. Watch ye not, do you not know what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Well, this is from 1 Kings 19, and well, many of you will know this, that the prophet Elijah, when he was terribly downcast about the state of the nation, he entered into a cave at Horeb, and the Lord asks Elijah, what doest thou here? Those famous words. And then he brings his complaint to the Lord. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and even I am left alone and they seek my life. Elijah saw no hope at all. He was in a very bleak way of mind. But look what the Lord said to him in verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even in those dark times for Elijah, God said that there was still a remnant. Not all of Israel is completely lost and corrupted. There's still a remnant there. I have reserved a remnant. So don't despair, Elijah. And it's the same for the Apostle Paul and the gospel age. Not all of Israel will be cast away. Yes, there'll be a great turning away. Yes, there'll be great disobedience and unbelief, but not every single Israelite or Jew will be cast out. There's a remnant. Even in the gospel age, there will be a remnant of Jews who will be saved. It's the same as it was true for Elijah, it's true for Paul, and it's true in the gospel age. Don't despair, Paul. You have been saved, because you are one of that great elect that will be gathered out of the nation of Israel. And verse 6, and if by grace, grace is mentioned there at the end of verse 5, the election of grace, And this is very important. So the Apostle Paul reinforces it in verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Well, the Apostle Paul, well, he's just reinforcing here that when the Jews do come in the gospel age, it won't be by their Judaistic ways, by their works. It will be the same way that everyone else comes in. It will be by grace. It won't be just grace for the Gentiles and then the Jews will come in because they've been very good. No, all of them by grace. That is the way it will be. And then verse 7, I have to move quickly through these verses because I want to get to a certain point. But verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The elect will be called out of Israel. Again, it's the same point. And the rest will be blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Taken from Deuteronomy, the words of Moses again, 29 and verse 4. But the hardening given to Israel, and we've spoken about this so many times, hardening, well, just to mention very quickly, that hardening does not take away an individual's responsibility. An individual is still responsible. God hardens those who have already hardened themselves. That's very clear in the scripture. They have hardened themselves against the authority of God. They have turned away from Him. And so God keeps them in that state. He keeps them in that state. And well, the longer you're kept in that state, the harder you become. And so that is the best way to understand this hardening, this spiritual stupor that is described here in verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. God will not heal them and cause them to see unto this day. And verse 9, well, David, again from the Old Testament, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. Well, this is the chastisement, the judgment upon Israel. Bow down their back alway. They will always have a heavy burden. They will not find that which they desire, peace with God. But then verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them, verse 12, be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Well, again, the Apostle Paul is not saying that all of Israel shall be cast away completely. Have they stumbled that they should fall entirely? No, God forbid. But rather through their fall, through the removal of their privileges, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. All things work for good, the Apostle Paul has already said in this letter. All things work for good. And even the removal of privilege from Israel, the removal of favor, the turning away by the majority of the Israelites, even that will work for good. What will be the good? Well, the Gentiles will be blessed. Through their fall, through the fall of Israel, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. This is the good news of the gospel, and all things have worked for good. Well, Just to illustrate this in real terms, if I can ask you to turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 44, and Paul and Barnabas preaching the word of God. Acts 13, verse 44. This illustrates what the Apostle Paul is teaching in Romans. Acts 13, 44. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together, to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. So these are the Gentiles being taught the word of God, and they are filled with envy, as the Apostle Paul has written in the letter to Romans, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, you reject the gospel and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. This is exactly the same as the teaching of Paul in Romans. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Well, we return back to Romans chapter 11. But that's just a live illustration, if you like, of what the Apostle Paul has been saying. The Jews have turned away from the gospel, but there is now great blessing for the Gentiles. And for to provoke them to jealousy, we read of the envy there in Acts 13. And then we read it again, well, in verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Again, through the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, the Jews will be provoked to envy, but even that will have a blessing. The Jews, who historically have desired the acceptance of God, have desired to be blessed by God, have desired to know that peace with God, well, when they see the Gentiles actually obtaining these things, they will be moved by their envy to actually seek God in the right way. They will ask themselves, why do we not have this peace that the Gentiles have? Why do we not have this blessing? What are they doing that we're not doing? We're envious of them. We must examine this even closer. We must understand who Christ is. We must seek to understand how to obtain this righteousness by faith. That envy will actually lead to the elect coming in from the Jews. That envy will be used of God to gather in the elect from out of Israel. This is what the Apostle Paul's argument is here. This is blessing, not just for the Gentiles, but ultimately for the Jews. Because they will be so provoked, well, it will compel those who are the elect Jews to seek God in the right way, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, we have those verses in verse 12 and verse 15. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Well, of course, for the Jews to reject the gospel, that is a blessing for the Gentiles. That is how the Gentiles will hear the word of God, because the Jews have rejected the gospel. But if the Jews accept the gospel, well, that will be a tremendous blessing to those Gentiles, because the Jews will then be a part of the church, adding their strength to it, not their opposition. When they are gathered in, they will be a great blessing to the church. And what a tremendous witness it is when a Jew is converted by grace. Well, we think of it in wondrous terms. We see it as a real trophy of grace for a Jew in the gospel age to be saved from such a background that is so opposed, that is so hostile, that refuses to accept and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do we not marvel more at that? How much more when we see those from the Jewish nation come and find faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an even greater blessing to the Gentiles when they turn to Christ in faith. And these things, they're all communicated by the Apostle Paul in these verses. And I hope I'm making this clear enough for you. But, well, let's just continue, because I wanted to get down to verse 22, but I'm not sure if we'll be able to. But verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Well, very simply now, this is talking about the nation of Israel, the first fruit, the root. And perhaps specifically it's speaking about the patriarchs, about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the founders of the nation, the ones to whom the covenants and the promise was given by God. Well, they were set apart by God. Set apart, and the whole nation of Israel was set apart, holy in that sense. If the first fruit be holy, the root is holy. But of course, we know that not all Israel were true believers. And we read that in verse 17, some of the branches are broken off. Yes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the first fruits, were the root, but not all the branches were to be gathered in. Some of the branches were broken off, and the Gentiles were gathered in. Thou, he's speaking to the Gentiles now, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So those who were Jews, physical Jews, but not of faith, they were broken off. And the Gentiles by faith were grafted in among them. But then in verse 18, there is a warning against the Gentiles. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Well, now this warning against the Gentiles is to say, well, you have now gospel privileges. The Gentiles have been gathered in a wonderful way. But that does not give the Gentiles any excuse to prejudice against the Jews. It does not give them any excuse to therefore oppose themselves to the Jews, or oppress the Jews in any way, or look down with contempt upon the Jews. And that, well, that's a teaching that has been ignored on many occasions throughout the 2,000 years of the gospel age. Perhaps this was even happening in some degree in the church at Rome, to whom Paul writes. But we must not think we are better than the Jews in any way. They are the root. We as saved Christians, we do owe a debt to the Israelite nation. Of course we do. The Israelites, their nation, their history. Well, we learn precious spiritual lessons. That which builds us up in our Christian faith through the Word of God, that's Israel's history. That's the history of their nation. The things that we learn of In the New Testament says that Old Testament history, we learn from those things. They're examples to us. They're examples to us so that we are to grow in the gospel age. But that's Israel's history. We owe them a debt. And of course, we wouldn't have the Word of God if it were not for the Israelite nation. They were custodians of the Word of God. The Masoretes, who were preserved the Old Testament scriptures, the copiers, the scribes, they may well not have understood the Word of God as they ought to have done, but they esteemed it as the Word of God. They protected it. It was a sacred text for them. And now we are those who benefit and who profit from these things. So boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You wouldn't be saved at all if it was not for the nation of Israel and how they were used of God to show us the way of salvation. And verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, that's true. The Jewish nation were cast aside to some degree that the Gentiles will be grafted in. And verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, well, yes, that's true. But remember, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And I think I will end there for this evening, but let me just say a few words on those verses. Be not high-minded, do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You know, in the gospel age, there are Gentiles, of course. We always speak about this. Gentiles who make the same mistake as the Jews did. Gentiles who think that because they're outwardly religious, because they attend church, because they sing the hymns and so on, well, they think that they have found acceptance with God. They make that same mistake and they do not seek the righteousness that comes by faith. For them, it's just their works. They're good people. They're religious people. They don't want that righteousness by faith. They don't think they need that righteousness. They are righteous enough. Thank you very much. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying here, remember why they were broken off. Because of unbelief. Do you have that same unbelief? Are you someone who's just trusting in your works, in your religiosity? Remember how the Jews were cut off. You will be cut off in the same way if you do not have that righteousness by faith. Remember, learn again from the example of the Israelite nation. Learn again from the Jews so that you may actually receive faith in the right way and be tremendously blessed and be saved. Well, these things, I hope they haven't been too complicated this evening, but all these things are for our learning. There is a role for Israel. Israel has not been entirely cast off, but only for those who are elect in Israel. They will be called out just as the Gentiles have been called out. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy Word. And Lord, we do pray that Thou wouldest bless it to us. Lord, help us to learn from it. Help us to look at the example of the Israelite nation and to learn from them, to learn from their mistakes, to learn from their foolishness. that we must have that righteousness that comes by faith, to learn and to rejoice, dear Lord, that there is still an elect, O Lord, from the Israelite nation, from the Jews, and from every nation, dear Lord, and we must be used of Thee. We must speak that message, for faith cometh by hearing. O dear Lord, help us all. Bless us, we pray, as we learn these things, and help us to apply these things to our own lives. We ask it all in our Saviour's name, and for His sake. Amen.